Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Speak to our hearts, affect our lives. Bless our time together here in this place. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Why don't you give the Lord a big hand clap? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church?
Yes.
All right. Church is nice, oh? Hey, who is that? Mr. Stranger. Okay. Now, I want to start teaching and preaching about some of the things that kind of doesn't help the church to work and doesn't help the church to grow. Are you with me? There are some things that don't help the church to grow. And we have to identify such things. And if we are good people, and if we are people who want the church to work, then we will stay away from such things. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, we have to understand that when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that he set in motion the, if you want to receive it, the fight of hell. Can you give us a darker background? A darker background. So we can see the white. Otherwise, give us the scripture in black. Is that a darker background? I still see white. I don't know whether you are darker. Is it dark? Is it acceptable? Okay. You can even take the background out. We're okay if we can see the scripture. He said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And then he says that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus introduces here a certain resistance to the building of his church. Are you with me? He said, Mrs. Wills, you're welcome. You smell America. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you say something will not prevail against something, it means that that thing is trying to withstand. It is trying to come up against. So Jesus said that, as for the church, I will build it. No matter what the gates of hell, when you say the gates of hell, you are talking about the authority of hell. As you can see scriptures, you can read it, but you will have to really understand what the scriptures entail. When you talk about gates, you are talking about authority. You are talking about power. That is why I say several times here that in our country, I don't know who came up with the laws that our walls should be short. and our gates should be small. Because your gate is your first point of defense. If your gate is small, a dog can jump over your gate, you are miserable. Your gate must be solid. Because your gate is the entrance and the access to your house. I don't know where these people got their ideas from. You can't do a wall that is 6 feet or something. People must see into your house. Why do you want people to see into my house? Yeah. Maybe Forbes Benham wanted to control all of us. That's why he came up with that idea or something. But nobody has sat down to argue this thing again. Are you with me? So, your gates, in those days, the Bible says Samson went to the Philistines and he took away their gates. It means he exposed them. So, when Jesus spoke about the gates of hell, it's not the gate, black gate we have there. It's not the physical gate. Even the physical gate should tell you something. The gate is locked. If you can break the gate, then you get into the compound. So your defense is the gate. So the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It means that the authority and the power of hell shall not prevail against it. That is what Jesus has said. He said that is, you see, that's the hallmark of the building and the marching on of the church. But it does not rule out the fact that the devil and the gates of hell tries all the time. It is the prevailing that will not happen. Do you get it? But I can also tell you that there are churches where the gates of hell have actually prevailed against it. Not because Jesus was lying, but because the church was ignorant. The church was not careful. The church took things for granted. And you see, some of these things happen a lot in our environment, because people like black people like to take a lot of serious things for granted. You see, when you're a black man, you always like to beg. It's true. You beg for favors. When the police arrest you, you beg. Are you with me? When the police arrest you, so, man, I'm sorry. No, when the white police arrest you, there's nothing like begging. You can beg from now to tomorrow morning. You have violated the rule, and then you receive a ticket. So we are used to taking serious things for granted. Somebody is driving and he stops in the middle of the road to talk to a friend who is passing. So two cars passing each other, everyone stops and they are gaffing. And you are behind a car and you blow your horn and it's like, what wrong with you? But you can't do that in a white man's country, because they don't joke with serious things. So the gates of hell, ladies and gentlemen, has happened to fight and to almost like prevail or take away churches. Now, there are some churches, I can tell you, you can go and look into the churches. The church, even though the church has not finished, it has been disgraced. I know if you are following what I'm trying to say. So, it is a lot of education and teaching in the church that will help the church really. You see, the bishop said something very, very interesting. It is not even if you want to receive it, praying against the devil only. Again, white people don't believe in the devil, but they prosper. Should I say it again? If you like go and meet a white person and say, the devil is after you, he will laugh at you. But you and I, we run for deliverance every week. There are churches that do deliverance every week. Every something is some devil following and some devil chasing you.
In fact, some church members can call you the pastor and tell the pastor, I need prayer because I believe the devil is after me. The patient has prescribed medication for herself or has diagnosed her own problem.
Why people don't believe in the devil?
So how can we believe in the devil? If the devil is that one who destroys a lot of things, how can we believe in the devil? We don't seem to prosper, and they who don't believe in the devil prospers. Gift. It's a good question. The reason, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's not that the devil is not around. The devil is there. But the way the devil works is not the way we see or we think he's working. The devil, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe. Let's go there. I'm preaching. It's good to be back. I'm preaching a good message. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's see verse 10, something like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Verse 11. He says that, wherefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Did I say chapter 2 and you say chapter 11? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive. Also, for if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I. Forgive I it in the person of Christ. Verse 11 is what we're looking for. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. So that's what I'm talking about. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not get an advantage over the church. Baker, are you there? But here the Bible is saying that lest Satan should get an advantage. He likes to get an advantage. And he gets advantage by doing certain things. So the Bible says that, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, when you talk about ignorant, you are talking about knowledge. Ignorant, the opposite of being ignorant. It's being knowledgeable, Baker, isn't it? So, when the Bible says we are not ignorant of his device, it means that we know how he works and the things he uses. How many understand this simple explanation? So, it is more of knowing what and knowing how. That is what gives us the victory. But you realize that in the church of Jesus Christ, a lot of things are not known. We always want a dream or a vision or a prophecy or somebody to read your hand or somebody to tell you something mysterious. But we never want to really understand or learn how the devil works. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. It means he has devices. He has things he uses. He has strategies. You see, and this morning, I want us to take one of those strategies and dissect it. So I want to preach to you about confusion. Confusion. It's a message. Confusion. Now, what is confusion? So I'm confused. Why are you creating confusion? In fact, the Bible says in the book of Leviticus that don't sleep with an animal because it is confusion. It is confusion. Why do you want to have a relationship with an animal? You are causing confusion. So the simple definition for confusion is the lack of clarity. Confusion is the lack of clarity. Are you with me? Others, are you there? It's the lack of clarity. You would think that the lack of clarity is a very simple thing. But the lack of clarity is where the devil prospers.
you are going to receive clarity today. You see, the devil takes or gets advantage. Yeah, neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Mr. Lambert, I miss you, man. Long time.
He said, it is confusion. Why? Because it's not clear. Are we all supposed to be sleeping with animals? Or is just somebody who is crazy, who's trying to do, or somebody who's too adventurous and is trying to accept that there's lack of clarity about sexual things when you see somebody doing that. Now, the moment you have confusion in a place, you see darkness. Because confusion does not allow you to see straight and clear. Now, and there are several areas in the church and in our lives where confusion makes the devil prosper. You see, for example, if somebody comes to church and the person is not fully in the things of the church, it's confusion. What is the meaning of confusion? Can you show us the meaning of confusion on the screen? Can you do that? You should try and do that for us. If confusion means the lack of clarity. You see, if you let's say you put ink in water, the water gets confused. Is that not so evil? Once the ink settles under, let's say in a cup, then you see that it's clear. Water becomes clear. Water is clear without any color. When you put any color in the water has become confused. It means there's no clarity. There are thousands, if not hundreds, of things in the church that brings confusion. And once it brings confusion, it allows Satan to get advantage. You see, when somebody is not real, it's a confused state. When somebody is not completely into something, it's a confused thing. It's like you are supposed to be in, but we don't see you in. It's confusion. You say you are a pastor of the church, or you say you are a leader of the church, but the things that leaders do, you don't do it. It's confusion. You are not helping us to understand. So what is it really? Are leaders supposed to be doing this or not? So those who are looking on, I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to say. Those who are following and they are watching, they see. So what is it really? You call yourself a leader, but you don't do what leaders do. You are confused. You call yourself a pastor, but you are into other things. So are you a pastor or are you a businessman? It's just confusion. I tell you. Confusion is the lack of clarity. Is that what the dictionary says? I was thinking for you. You are showing the dictionary meaning for us, so not what you are typing. You didn't understand like that. So what are some of the things that in the church that brings confusion? You see, for example, you say you are a member of the church, but you are not fully into the church. You are confusing people. And you are giving Satan an advantage in the church. You say you don't like, you are a Christian, you like the truth, you like honest things. But then you are following or you are flowing with somebody who is not straight, who says negative things about God and about church, and you still say that the person is your friend. You are confusing us. You're working with a guy. And we don't know what is going on. Who is this? He says it's a friend. Is this? It's a child father. You are staying together. So are you married or you are not married?
don't know if you understand what I'm trying. I don't know if somebody understands what I'm trying to say. Chapter 5 of this book, Those Who Pretend, talks about confusion. You see, when you pretend, you confuse people. When you're not real, you confuse people. The first thing you should know about confusion, we're starting, is that confusion is a lack of clarity. And God is not the author of things that are not clear. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Can you get that? Confusion is the lack. You must understand what confusion is about. Confusion is the lack of clarity. That's how sometimes, is when you see something, you must ask questions. So as not to be confused. You see, when you're in a home where mommy has a man in the house, but it's not your father, and then mommy says, you should call him. Uncle says, come. Uncle says, come. No, I'm teaching about confusion. If you don't remove confusion from your life, and we don't remove confusion from the church, we give the devil an advantage. So therefore, when Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, we are making Jesus' words to not have power. Because Jesus cannot operate where there's confusion. That's what the Bible says. For God is not the author, the originator, the creator of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. When the earth was confused, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You go to verse 2, the Bible says what? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. God came into something that didn't have form and was void and had darkness upon it. There's no clarity. So God, because he's not the author of confusion, he comes into a situation and clarifies it. So he goes in there and says, and God said what? Verse 3. And God said, let there be clarity. Let there be clarity. And there was clarity. Because God cannot be associated with things that lack clarity. Well, who are you really? What is your decision really? What is your mind really? What are you doing really? What is your conviction really? If you are able to say that, you will help us understand, and we will not have to guess and be wrestling and be fighting and all kinds of things. So instead of spending our energy on something else, we are now fighting to get clarity. Now, for example, if you're a Christian, you must be a full-blown Christian. I know something that the enemy is using against a lot of us here in the country when it comes to being clear as a Christian. And that is baptism, for example. We are having our worldwide baptism day this coming Saturday, the 13th, isn't it? Saturday the 13th is baptism day. So we are all gathering here, and then we go to the place and we'll get baptized. But you see, we Guyanese, we always say, I ain't ready. You've heard that before? Only yesterday. No, because you are ignorant, that's why. It's like you get married and you tell your husband, I'm not ready to have sex. No, that's what baptism is.
That's what baptism is. When you give your life to Christ, you are saved. When you say the vow here in front, you are married. Now you have to go and do what you have to do. There is no discussions about it. There is not an argument about it. There's nothing like, I am ready or I'm not ready. If you are not ready, you shouldn't have given your life to Christ to start with. But you see, the devil through the Seventh-day Adventist Church has many, many years ago has spoken that if you are not baptized, you are not saved. They have told us that when you get baptized, you can't sin anymore. You can't smoke anymore when you get baptized. When you get baptized, that is it. So you know yourself. You know you are not perfect. So you don't want to go and get into water. And then tomorrow somebody says, look at you. You baptized and look at what you are doing. No. It is a device of the devil. It is ignorance. But you see, when you get baptized, you are clear on who you are and what you stand for. You can't be a Christian coming to church and you are not baptized. It's not clear. You can't marry and say, I'm not ready. No, then don't marry. Because when you marry that night, you have to open your legs wide. The Bible says, they that believed, they were baptized. There was no question as to, are you ready or not ready? No. Are you ready to decide heaven or hell now by accepting Jesus? That is the most important thing. If you are ready to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, then you are ready to go into water. What does going into water do for you? Apart from just making you make a clear statement that I'm a Christian. What does it do for you? The real thing is, you see, that is why people don't marry, but they have sex. Because the vow, the commitment, the coming to the front to say the word is more important than what happens after that. That's why people don't marry. It's easier to have sex than to come to the altar and do wedding. It's easier. So baptism is supposed to be easy than to come forward and give your life to Christ. That's how it's supposed to be. I don't know if you understand. It is what we call a yoke in the mind. Many people can't get it out. Many Guyanese can't get it out. Sometimes even no matter what you preach, they still can't get it out. Because it has been embedded in our minds that once you baptize, you have to be like Virgin Mary. But who on earth is like Virgin Mary? Have you ever come across a human being who is so perfect, has never sinned before? There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. So you are baptizing for the fact that you are stating clear. And that's what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said that. You see, now if you are repent that your sins will be forgiven and come and be baptized to show and to prove to the world that now you have made a decision to be on the side of Jesus Christ. It is a decision to be on a particular side when you allow yourself to be baptized. Not that when you baptize, you won't sleep with your child father anymore. No matter what you do, you sleep with your child father. The solution with your child father is to come to church, let's bless it, and then you continue sleeping together. That's the solution. You think when you baptize, you won't sin again? You are making a joke. So if that is why you are waiting to be, no, I am not ready. When are you going to be ready? You will never be ready. Because you will never be perfect in your own eyes. And remember, again, it's confusion, right? It is not our righteousness is not righteousness of works. It is not what you do that makes you get approval from God. It is the blood of Jesus that washes those sins away that makes you stand right. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. What you will think that you are doing to make God happy with you, God does not appreciate it. There's only one way that God approves of us, and that is if we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way.
Anything else you do, you will not eat this meat, you will not do that meat, you will not wear earrings, you go to church on a Saturday. All those things don't please God, but the blood of Jesus. Don't be deceived. You see, so then it's confusion in the minds of people. That people can't, they come to church, they give offering, they sing, they dance, and they don't want to be baptized. So what is your stand? Where do you stand? Who are you really? Are you a Christian? Who are you? I'm a Christian, but I'm not baptized. There's something wrong about you. Your Christian claim is confused. How many understand the confusion? Let there be light. Light is coming into your mind where baptism is concerned. I know why I'm zeroing. Baptism is this Saturday, so maybe I should talk about that more. The Bible says Philip was speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. And he explained to him Isaiah chapter 53. And he explained how Jesus was. He said, who is the Isaiah talking about? And then Philip said, Isaiah is talking about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When he understood, he said, so why should I not be baptized? There's water here. He, when he gave his life to Christ, he even was the one who said, please put me in the water. I also want to identify myself with Jesus Christ. You see, baptism, one of the clarities that baptism brings is to say that just as Jesus got himself baptized, you also, on the side of Jesus, you are also getting baptized. Clear. You see, if you see our president, David Granger, he always liked wearing green. He won't wear red. If he wears red now, it's going to bring confusion. Even though red is a color. Red is a very nice color. But if he puts on red, he say, what? He's drinking cup with a soup in a cup now or what? So he wears green. Anytime he gets a privilege, he wears green. To state his unflinching support for APNU. And you see the AFC people, they wear yellow. Unflinching support. So who are you? Christians allow a lot of confusion. The way we carry ourselves around, people cannot see who we are. The way you dress, when we see you outside, you are like an unbeliever. You are like a prostitute. You like a dangle, a dangle, a dangle. You dress like a dangle. So who are you really? There's no clarity. And once you do that, you allow Satan to flourish. You see, Satan wants people to see us in a bad light. That's why if you realize, people say bad things about pastors and churches. And once you know about it, you will never go to a church like that. No, nobody wants to go to a place where there's confusion and there's lack of clarity. That's why I am the pastor. That's why I preach all the time. Because if you come and see Pastor Leon preaching, you wonder, who is the pastor? I am the pastor. That's why I'm the one preaching. That's why I have a place where you can't sit. Because that is my place. It's clear. That's why we say, if you are married and you come to the church, sit with your wife. So you don't confuse us. Unless your wife is maybe in the choir or your husband is in the ushers or something like that you can't sit together. You must always sit together. There must be clarity. Today your homework is that. Go and check your life. What am I doing? That is not clear. Who I am and what I stand for. That thing is what is giving Satan advantage over you and advantage over the things in the church. God is not the author of confusion. Anything that is not clear, anything that brings confusion, God is not in it. Should I pay tithe or don't pay tithe? I thought you said you were a Christian. Satan is happy when you don't do the things that God wants you to do. Because you create another breed. It's like, you don't have to be a Christian and be like this. You can be a Christian and be like that also. Now look at this, even gay and lesbian bishops and pastors that the world has tried to create. It's confusion. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, he created male and female. It was clear. Now, Satan says, no. No. You don't need a woman to be happy. You need a dog also. You can watch pornography and pump. You don't need a woman. You can play with yourself. Go and get some adult toy and play with yourself. And you break and you are right. Forget about them boys and them girls. And you'll be doing it quietly and secretly. It's confusion. Look at some of you. If a particular guy comes to your house, we don't know who he is. He comes late in the night. By the time it's morning, he's out. The children realize that somebody came in and somebody left. Confusion. When you wake up in the morning, you are listening to Joel Osteen. You are playing gospel songs. But in the night, they heard the bed shaking. Meanwhile, they know no man is in the house. Confusion. You see, whatever you say as an excuse to what you are not willing to do to show your stand in Christ is what makes your situation confused. I am not ready to get married. So then why don't you stay away from men or from women? Then we know it's clear. I'm not ready to be baptized. So why don't you go to the club and sing and dance and whine and break up your back, broke up your back? Then we know that you are not a Christian. But when you come to church, you must be baptized in water. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You must read your Bible. You must pray. You must come to church all the time. It must be clear. Without anybody coming to harass you. No, you have to declare your stand. That's why when you marry, you put on a ring. Those who are married who don't put on rings, you are confusing us. Who are you really? Are you available or you are not? Because you look very attractive. I'm wondering whether we can try. But you must have a message clear. One day we had an issue in the church. Hey, my time is up. Where somebody, child mother, was coming to church. And the guy said that she got a man in the church. So he coming, forget that man. So he came to church and he couldn't find any man anyway. But you see, when the lady was telling me, I said, what is his problem? You are not his wife. You are not his wife. He's lucky nobody's interested in you. You're also not interested in somebody. I'll marry you today. Elizabeth is laughing. If you love she. Thank you very much, my dear. You love she? You want her to beg you before you marry she? I was talking to one nice carpenter guy I like. He's been staying together with a woman for, what, they have 3 children. They've been staying together for like 10 years. I said, when are you getting married? He said, no, no, but pastor, don't start that. Them talk. Me when them talk. I said, why? He said, no, no. We live in good, just so. Just so. We live in good, just so. But if the girl should go outside and it's 6, 7 o'clock and he's not coming, you are panting like a deer is panting for water. Girl, where you there? Where you there? I is your wife? I is not your wife. No, you look at it. How many domestic violence goes on with people who are not married to each other? How many murders go on with people who are not related in holy matrimony? You see, and all these things that I'm preaching, you still want to text me and say, Reverend, what do you think about this? Oh, but I preach about it on Sunday. Have you forgotten? Once it's not clear, you are giving Satan an upper hand. You say you're a musician? Be a musician. You have a responsibility in the church? Do it. They don't have a responsibility. And then it's like we are wondering, are you the one who is responsible for this? It's like we have to ask ourselves really whether it's you we are dealing with. The excuses and everything still makes what you are give a very shady picture of who you are. And Jesus was somebody who always made things clear. He says, I don't receive honor from men. He said it before when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate said that, don't you know that I can deliver you? And he said, you can deliver me. That's why he also didn't respond to the thief on the cross who said that if you were the Son of God, jump down and release me. Jesus didn't mind him because he is not what a man will approve of him that matters. That's when Peter took out the sword and cut off the ear of the chief priest's servant. He didn't say, Peter, why the ear? Juke him now. He said, don't worry, Peter, don't do that. If I want to fight this thing, you don't need to draw a sword. But I don't have to protect myself or do things that men will be happy. I have to please God who sent me. So his lifestyle was always to please God. Can we have a clear life? Can we have a church that is clear? That we are this. We come here Sunday. We come here Tuesday. We come, we do this. We do, and can we identify with those things? Can we identify clearly with the Bible? That I am someone who believes in the Bible? When people see people like that, they don't like us. They get offended. They think we are fanatical. You are fanatic. And no, so in fact, baptism like this, someone says, Mama, don't rush into baptism, you know. There are several parents. Their children say they want to be baptized. The Saturday morning when we are going, when you call them and say, me mother said, I ain't ready yet. I want to close, but let me tell you this one before I close. I remember clearly this young boy whose mother was fighting him and what he wanted to do for God. The mother was ignorant. Because what the mother didn't know was that the boy was even being sodomized. That he couldn't even control it. But as his pastor, he told me about it. But I can't go and tell your mother that, you know, please allow him because all this, I can't go and tell. If he wants to tell him, he should tell the mother. He was smoking weed. He was being sodomized. He was doing all kinds of things. But the guy came to a point where he said, you know what, I want to do this for God. The mother said, no. Hey, your child wants to be baptized. Do you know what a baptism would do for them? Many people have gone inside the water and come back new, fresh. People have come out of the water. When they came up, they were speaking. Some power had descended upon them. Is that what you want to separate yourself from? Because the devil knows that once you baptize, you are making yourself clear. And he doesn't want you to do that.
And time is up. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Confusion is gone. I said confusion is gone. Confusion has disappeared in the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Somebody lift up your voice. Pray to God. Thank the Lord that confusion is gone away. That now, from now onwards, you will not engage yourself in things that suggest confusion. It's not clear. It doesn't make people or even God to really see where you stand. Say, Lord, from today, I am not confused anymore. I don't engage myself in acts of confusion anymore. Lebros kabranda makaya bas kabrande beke brende. Labrasata barabako bromo soto mokorobobo. Lebas kata barande mekeye beskete baranda makoyolo. Limomo soto bolobo sakabra bababa. Lema masanda makaya baskete berende makorios. Libe beseme lemende mekebere mesa makaya basatara bakebrede. Let there be light, O God. Let there be clarity, O God. Let there be light in our lives and in our church. Blessed be your name. To be pleasing you. Pleasing you. And that is all I really want to do. To be pleasing you. Pleasing you. And that is all I really want to do. To be pleasing. To be pleasing you. Pleasing you. And that is all I really want to do. To be pleasing. To be pleasing you. Pleasing you. And that is all I really want to do. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for touching and affecting our lives and bringing clarity in our church, in our thinking. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. You are here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God one day is going to bring clarity between those who believe him and those who don't believe him. He is going to send those who believe him to heaven. He's going to send those who do not believe him to hell. Because he's not the author of confusion. Pastor, please. I'm not sure whether I will go to hell when heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Please pray with me. My right hand is up. If you are here like that, your right hand up high so I can see. I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. If you're here like that, just every eye closed, just you alone, lift up your right hand. You're here like that. I want to pray with you. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to go to heaven when I die. God bless you. God bless you. Be bold. That's right. God bless you. Don't be shy. Be bold. Be bold. And make your statement clear. This is what I want to do. I don't want to be coming to church and I'm not sure who I am and am I a Christian. No, Pastor, please pray with me. God bless you. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you to please come to me. Come. God bless you. Come to me. I want to pray for you. Come. Clap for them. Clap for them. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Come. Oh, clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Oh, clap, 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 clap. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. You want to join them, it's not too late. Come now.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees.
All right.
So if you are here in front, in fact, we should have had a pool right here. So that after this confession, then you say, you know what? I want to make my stand clear. I believe in God. I've prayed a prayer. Now remove the veil and kiss your bride. You can say, don't kiss me. What do you mean? You have to perform the things that you must perform after you are saved. So pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe God raised him from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. From today, I believe that by this simple prayer, I am born again. I am saved from hell. I am now a child of God. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.